Hi, it has been so exciting seeing the registrations coming in for our Revive Lifestyle Medicine Safari Retreat in Africa happening this January 2025. If this has been on your bucket list, or if you have already gone and you cannot wait to go back, now is the time to save your spot. We'll be having incredible wildlife viewing excursions, including primate trekking, seeing elephants, rhinos, giraffes, lions, and more. Cultural experiences with local guides, healthful food in beautiful accommodations, participating in a service project, and sharing expertly guided lifestyle medicine activities, including nutrition, physical activity, stress relief, sleep, connection, nature, and more. How can you find out more about it? Well, go to the website stressfreemd.net/safari-retreat. That's stressfreemd.net/safari-retreat, where you can learn more about our incredible itinerary and save your spot. CME is included for healthcare professionals. Any questions, reach out, and I cannot wait to share this incredibly transformative experience with you. Hi everyone, and welcome to the Stress-Free MD podcast, where you learn how to be stress-free from the inside out, elevate your calm, and live your best, healthiest life. I'm your host, Dr. Robin Tiger, your self-care doctor. Hi everyone, and welcome back to the Stress-Free MD podcast. I am really, really excited that we have a very special guest with us today. We have my dear friend, Dr. Amber Orman, with us, and she is coming to us from Orlando, Florida. She's a double board certified radiation oncologist and lifestyle medicine specialist, focusing on breast cancer treatment and prevention. She is the first ever chief wellness officer of Advent Health Medical Group, working to improve the well-being of her colleagues. She's also the co-founder of the HEAL, Healthy Eating and Active Lifestyle Program at Advent Health in Orlando, Florida. HEAL is an 8-week lifestyle medicine program designed to educate and inspire cancer patients to make positive changes to decrease cancer recurrence and improve overall health span. And she collaborates with the American College of Lifestyle Medicine as a member of the Health Systems Council and also serves as the chair of the Cancer Member Interest Group. She's the medical director of Advent Health Lifestyle Ventures, as well as the assistant professor at the University of Central Florida College of Medicine. Please warmly welcome, I know I am, my dear friend, Dr. Amber Orman, to the podcast. Thank you so much for being here.
It's such a pleasure, Robin. I love seeing you and spending just a little time with you.
Yes, it's amazing. And I love how we met. We met through lifestyle medicine. It's an amazing, amazing way to meet. And I'm so excited you're here to talk to us about what we can do to prevent cancer, to improve our overall well-being, and to prevent recurrence of cancer when it arises. So let's get to it. I would love for you to share with our audience how you got into all of this incredible work that you do.
It's a bit of a long story, so I'm going to tell the abbreviated version. I really dug into nutrition when I was in college. And the reason for it was that I grew up on a farm of sorts, eating what would have been grass-fed, free-range, no hormone added meat. And I was eating a healthy-ish version of the standard American diet, including all kinds of animal products. And I go to college and I realize that the burger in the cafeteria doesn't taste like the burger at home. And so that was concerning to me, like, how is a cow not a cow? And so I started really learning about nutrition and the food system and, you know, how things are raised and the effect that it has on our bodies. And it was really spurred from this personal interest of the difference between what I thought should have been an equal product, but also a need to really optimize my own performance in college, because I knew I was going on to medical school and I was in an engineering program for my undergraduate. So it was just difficult. And I needed to make the good grades and be able to sleep well and be able to get my workouts in and have all this energy. And I kind of engineered my own way of doing that with nutrition and other behaviors. And so it started there and kind of continued in medical school. I was just fascinated, not in a good way, that we weren't talking about nutrition and we weren't talking about lifestyle, even though I was learning that it was very important in determining your state of health. And so I continued to study independently alongside with my medical school curriculum, go into my radiation oncology residency. And I found a group at the University of Miami where I trained that was studying functional medicine. And so it was through a program there. I was studying really on weekends and nights with this other group of physicians and attending these conferences. And that really shaped how my medical practice began when I was at Moffitt Cancer Center, more of a functional medicine approach. And then when I later joined Advent Health, I kind of simultaneously learned about the field of lifestyle medicine. And I was actually sitting with one of the past presidents of ACLM at orientation, Dr. George Guthrie. And I was kind of telling everybody at the table about the magic of plants. And he's looking at me like, do you know about lifestyle medicine? And so I immediately joined and took the test that year and just fell in love with the six pillar approach. It really just kind of brought home everything that I was already dabbling in. And it's changed my life personally and professionally. It's really shaped how I practice. It's shaped the curriculum for the HEAL program and for everything we do for our colleagues in, you know, in my position as CWO. So it's permeated everything that I do.
Wow. So it was so insightful. So we go all the way back to you tasting meat differently.
Right.
that's really how this whole thing began. and then your path by educating yourself and having the insight to wanting to be the healthiest version of yourself is really super insightful. I have to say that when I was back in college and medical school, I really didn't think about these things. You know, it didn't really occur to me until so much later. So really kudos to you for having that insight so early. And then this piece about studying under functional medicine. And so I'd love for you just to touch on that, because I get asked that question a lot, like, is lifestyle medicine functional medicine? Is it integrative medicine? Like, what is that? And so we may have some listeners that don't really know what functional medicine is. So could you just maybe describe in a sentence or two what that is, so we can all be on the same page?
Yeah. In the way that I was learning it and practicing it, it was more, I would say, test heavy. And so we would order more complicated lab panels than would be kind of traditional in the medicine that we would practice out of medical school, looking for different markers of things. And it was more involved with supplements and things like this. The way I ended up really putting it into use in my patient population was a combination of functional medicine and lifestyle medicine. I've always been very heavy into the nutrition component of this, really wanting to get all of those nutrients via the foods and not so much the supplements. And so I think that's why when I found lifestyle medicine, which is really geared towards how can we achieve a state of health in the path of least resistance, I think, in the simplest way with our foods and our movement and our sleep and our stress and all of these things. I think that's really what appealed to me. I sometimes functional medicine felt a little bit, I don't know that complicated is the right word, but I felt like we could do this in an easier way with more application of whole plant foods and behaviors. And I really just liked the simplicity of it and the elegance of it and the way that we see amazing outcomes. And so I still have somewhat of a combined approach, and there's certainly a role for supplements, but I try to cover all those bases with all the magical plants first and only add in what we need instead of kind of starting there.
Yeah, I love that description, and that it doesn't completely negate what functional medicine teaches and believes in, but sometimes there's a role. But can we utilize ourselves to create those changes and to create those really important well-being shifts prior to jumping to the supplements and so on, right? And that's right. Really empowering for people to be able to take control of that in that way.
Yeah. And I think also appreciating the complexity, to think that any one diet would work for all of us is a gross oversimplification of things. We are different humans, different bodies, different environments, different stressors. Everything is different for each one of us. And so I appreciate what functional medicine does in finding those differences. And those are the pieces that I still love to incorporate.
I love that combination. That makes a lot of sense. Yeah. Not one size fits all.
Yeah.
Yeah. So take us back to medical school, Amber. How did you traverse the path after you've been working on lifestyle and getting into functional medicine? How did you get into the field that you're into now in radiation oncology? How did you choose that? And how did you specifically choose to work with individuals who were diagnosed with breast cancer?
Also, one of those funny life stories. So I found cancer very interesting. And interesting in a sense that it just seemed like it was a moving target and that we would always be learning and always be applying new treatments and technologies and even ways of thinking. And I liked how engaging that was. I liked the challenge of it. I did not want to pop out of medical school and feel like I was doing the same thing every day for the rest of my life. And so I wanted to choose an area where I thought there would be lots of development and an opportunity to change the landscape for patients. And so I thought I would be a medical oncologist prescribing chemo. Because I didn't even know that radiation oncologists existed when I was in medical school. So I applied for a third year medical oncology rotation, and I was told, no, you have to be a fourth year medical student to go through medical oncology. But we do have this other weird field of radiation oncology, and you can go hang out with them. And so I said, well, sign me up. And I showed up for my radiation oncology rotation as a third year medical student and realized, oh my gosh, I just finished a degree in engineering. And this is math and science heavy. It is very much an engineering type of field. And I also met my mentor that I'm still incredibly close with. Dr. John Stone, he's been such an amazing presence in my life and, you know, getting me involved in research projects and networking. And he really solidified for me that radiation oncology was the field for me. And the thing that was most appealing is the way that we structure our clinic is such that anybody receiving radiation has a weekly appointment with us. So for the duration of your treatment, be it 4, 6, 7, 8 weeks, whatever it is that you're receiving, I get to see you every week. And that starts to build relationships. And that starts to really provide meaning to both people involved in that relationship. And so I saw that no matter how stressful the job became, I would always have this valuable consecutive time with my patients to build these important connections. And so that is why the field was so appealing. And to answer your second question about why breast cancer, my mentor left Indiana, where I was in medical school, and took a job at Moffitt Cancer Center. And when I came out of residency in Miami, I got a call and said, we have an opening at Moffitt Cancer Center and we need a breast specialist. And I had trained under quite a few breast specialists in Miami and had been kind of groomed as a breast specialist through my residency. And so again, things just kind of aligned. And here I was working with my mentor again, kind of reunited. So it was a wonderful first job and a wonderful place to practice. And so that's where I kind of solidified my specialty in breast cancer and really integrative oncology. That's when I started really practicing this functional / lifestyle medicine / radiation oncology hybrid thing that I've had going ever since.
Oh, the universe. It's so interesting. Yeah. And how lucky we are to have you that integrated all of this, because it's just so incredible to be able to provide the education and the knowledge that you have with your patients. So let's talk about that. So now you've integrated all of this. First of all, you're engineering. You've got all that science, all that math, and then radiation oncology, and then combining that with lifestyle. Tell us about that now. Tell us about the program you've created, how you work with your patients, what you've seen. Tell us all the things.
Yes. So exciting. When I was at Moffitt doing this, I was realizing I'm really going to have to find a way to make this type of care more efficient and more available to more patients. Because what was happening is you're coming in to see me and I'm trying to, in a span of 60 minutes, give you a double consult. We're going to talk about your whole life. We're going to talk about radiation oncology. And it's just a little too much in that amount of time. And so when I moved to Orlando because I got married, actually, that's why I had to leave Moffitt. I needed to live in the city of Orlando. And I found Advent Health, and it was such a great match because they're very much into whole person care, as we call it here, but very supportive of this type of model. And so rather than continuing to do it on an individual basis, we started the HEAL program. And the HEAL program delivers this lifestyle medicine care in groups. And that is really the strength of the program. And that's why I wanted to take it from an individual experience with me to this group experience, because now we are bringing people together that feel very isolated in their diagnosis and very lonely in their life. We are providing support from other group members as well as all of the people involved in the program. We are providing accountability. People want to come back and let us know what they're doing. They're sharing resources. They're hearing other people's questions. And it's just building this supportive community around all of these people that just continues to grow. And so the program is structured in a way that you go through 8 weeks of curriculum in your group. And then you graduate into the HEAL alumni program, which is just this growing group of amazing people that welcome in new members every 8 weeks. And then we continue to meet with you monthly until the end of time. And so the support continues. And I'll tell you, these alumni meetings are so much fun. And for a physician, to be able to step outside of the traditional model of delivering care, which is one-on-one and fast-paced and lots of paperwork, to be able to sit with a group of people for 90 minutes and learn who they are and share pieces of yourself and really create these meaningful bonds is just so powerful. And I know that that is what has protected me from burnout. This is what gives my life such meaning and fulfills my purpose, which is really to serve other people. And doing it in this way is so powerful. And it's like infectious in a good way. It has this beautiful ripple effect with the family of the patient and the friends of the patient and the neighbor. And so we hear all these stories about the impact that that one person from Heal has on their people around them. And then, of course, we have great outcomes. We have people really transform their life, their outlook, their health. We have disease reversal. We're, of course, preventing decreasing risk of cancer recurrence, but we see diabetes go into remission and blood pressure normalize and weight loss and cholesterol go down and arthritis magically disappear and moods improve and sleep's improving. We've got more physical activity. So it is the most rewarding thing that I've ever been involved in is this program and being with these people in a time where they so much need this information. They're open to it, and they're just so open to also helping the other people involved.
Wow, so much to unpack here, so much goodness. So, you know, start talking about really the social connection piece, that you've created this incredibly safe, secure, nurturing space for your patients to connect with each other, to feel seen and feel heard. And we know that from the literature, the importance of that social connection piece for overall health and well-being. And then it's feeding your own health and well-being because you are a piece of that social connection as well. So you're taking care of your patients and you're also taking care of yourself. And it's just so beautiful that bidirectionality of that. And then you mentioned preventing recurrence and preventing recurrence in the teachings by creating the social connection piece and the pieces that you're teaching in your 8-week program. So could you talk a little bit about that?
Yeah. So the 8 weeks are designed in a way that we're really hitting on the big areas of opportunity in terms of reducing cancer recurrence. And so we have an introductory week where I really go deep on the data. Here's the numbers in terms of preventing breast cancer and other cancer recurrences. We've actually recently opened up to all cancer patients. And so we share with them, why would you even want to do this anyway? What's the value? What's the bang for the buck? And what are the numbers? And so we share with them the best, most recent studies in terms of how can changes in what you eat and your physical activity, how can that impact your chance of this cancer coming back later? And so that's where we start. And then we get into the food. So we have an amazing session on nutrition, really talking about inflammation and the microbiome and our immune system and fiber and all of these things. And also just how are you going to do it? How are you going to, where's the food coming from? How are you going to prep the food? What does shopping look like? All of these types of things surrounding the actual nutrition piece. We have a very interactive physical activity session where we talk about strength training, how important that is. We seem to be a little more hesitant to incorporate that sometimes. Cardiovascular seems easier for people to incorporate. So we really hit on strength and flexibility. We have a yoga session that is amazing, where we're really working on synchronizing the breath with the movement for the emotional benefits, but also for range of motion and regaining your core strength and all of these things that are compromised, especially in breast cancer patients when they're having, you know, surgery on their chest in some way. This will affect muscle tone and range of motion and posture and core strength. And those things have effects on the rest of your body. We have a session on mindfulness, where we talk about what would it look like to establish a mindfulness practice and what could that do for you, and give a lot of different options for people, all the way from a formal meditation practice down to just deep breathing in the moment. We also talk about sleep during that session. We talk about the grief associated with cancer. This is a newer session, and it's become our most powerful session, where we really start to name the types of grief and define them so that people can understand what it is they're feeling, know that it's normal. And once we understand it and know that it's normal, we're more likely to be able to work towards integrating that grief and accepting it as a piece of us now, so that we're able to live with it rather than have this goal of getting over everything and forgetting about it, which is not realistic. So that's been a wonderful addition. We have another session that talks about side effects of cancer treatments. And so a lot of these women have side effects, especially from the hormone blocking therapies, that we're finding aren't very well addressed or talked about, and they're kind of suffering in silence. And these are things that can affect their intimacy, their relationships, things that can cause pain. And so we really have this open, honest, frank discussion about, here's the things you may be feeling, and these are some things that we can do to help that. And we always have people that say, oh my gosh, I didn't know there was something I could do with this, and I've been suffering with this for so long. So that's a powerful session. And then we kind of have a wrap-up session that we introduce the concept of acupuncture. We have a wonderful acupuncturist that works with us. We introduce the concept of life coaching. If they want to somebody to work with, kind of a behavioral change agent, one-on-one, to help put into place all of the recommendations. And then there's always lots of time just for learning about each other. And so every session starts with that, because that, again, is the foundation. I think the loneliness and disease go hand in hand. When half of our country is suffering from significant loneliness. And so if we want to change our lives and change the way we're behaving, we've got to feel better in the first place. And so we always begin every session with this community building. I want to know, how's everybody doing? How was your past week? We follow you and really learn about you so that we can connect with one another.
Wow. This sounds so amazing. And all I'm sitting here just thinking how I wish that every single individual diagnosed with cancer would have access to a program just like this, no matter where they are, not just in the US, but in the whole world. It's just so incredible what you've created and how you continue to build on it as you seem to see the needs, that there are more sessions and more topics and more things coming up. So you're not only stagnant in how you originally created it, but you're seeing what people are needing and wanting, and then you're fulfilling those needs with additional information and programming. It's all just so, so good.
Yeah, I think, and thank you for your kind words. And I agree with you. There is such a need. There's a need for all humans to be in a program like HEAL, no matter what they have going on health-wise. And certainly cancer is a very, even though cancer is so common, it's our number two cause of death, it is such an isolating thing. And so I think this programs like this are invaluable. And yes, we have to continue to modify as we identify new needs. And I always tell the participants, I want all of your feedback I want the good stuff and the bad stuff. I want to know if there's somebody involved in the program that's not connecting, it's not landing. And we are very dynamic in making changes. And it's wonderful. And that's a good thing. We have to move according to the needs of our people.
Yeah. It's just so good that you're so flexible in that way and so open. And Amber, since we are releasing this episode during Breast Cancer Awareness Month, we may have many people listening that are thinking, how can I prevent cancer in the first place? Can you talk about the topics that you do teach in your HEAL program and how they may apply to individuals? As you mentioned, everyone needs to have access to this type of information. What can listeners do to help prevent cancer?
That's a great question. And I would even telescope out a little bit and just let everybody know that what I'm about to say applies to all chronic diseases. All of the stuff that we're suffering from, even the things in your mind, can be helped by these things. And that's kind of the magic of this opportunity. These patients of mine are faced with a cancer diagnosis, but along the way, the goal is that we help them to become healthier than they ever were, even before cancer. And so when we're talking about cancer specifically, the big areas of opportunity are, number one, your food. And so we really want to be emphasizing fiber because we want our gut microbiome to be happy so that our immune system can be functioning optimally and we can lower global inflammation in our body. And fiber is only found in plants. So more fiber in plants, happier gut microbiome, stronger immune system, lower inflammation. Okay. And so when we're talking about cancer, I usually have my patients emphasizing dark leafy greens, berries of any kind, mushrooms, apples, green tea, garlic, ginger, turmeric, all of the whole grains, beans, and soy. That's another area. That's a topic we discuss often, but good organic soy in the form of soy milk or tofu or tempeh or edamame. This can actually lower your risk of breast cancer and breast cancer recurrence. And so food is essential. We also talk a lot about movement. That's another big area where you can really affect outcomes. And so we've got to have strength training and cardiovascular and flexibility. And so we want about 150 minutes of kind of moderate intensity. And that means you can talk a little during it. You can't Facebook and you're not about to pass out. So you're somewhere in the middle, moderate, with a couple of days of strength training. And that's why we really emphasize the strength training. It has benefits different than the cardiovascular training. It actually can help naturally regulate your estrogen levels, which is important in breast cancer specifically. So we really emphasize that. Alcohol is another big area. There's no safe amount of alcohol when we're talking about cancer, especially breast cancer. And so if patients are using alcohol, we make sure that it is just kind of on that special occasion and it's a small amount and we're consuming it with antioxidant-rich foods and water. And what we are consuming is as clean as it can be with no added sugars and organic. And we understand alcohol is a social thing and to ask everybody to be abstinent is not realistic. And so we work with people where they are so that they can make smart choices and still have some fun once in a while and be social, but understand that it's important not to do that all the time. Tobacco, of course, is involved in other cancers. We don't want to be smoking. That's probably pretty clear for most people. And then other than that, we start to think about our body composition. And so when we think about if we have a lot of adipose tissue in the body, that's actually a metabolically active organ, and it's pumping out inflammatory mediators. And inflammation is not good when we're talking about cancer and chronic disease. And so I think telling somebody to lose weight is often not a good approach. We've got to tell people why. It's not just because we want you to be smaller. it is because that adipose tissue is harmful to you. It is wreaking havoc in your body because it is this metabolically active thing. And then beyond that, we get into things that aren't as there's not these large studies, but there's a lot of smaller studies. And that's when we talk about the role of stress. I think we're just kind of scratching the surface and understanding all of the biochemical consequences of stress. We know, yes, cortisol and inflammation, but we're really kind of digging into mechanisms. And I think it's a fascinating area. And I know this is your area, Robin, but we do talk about if you have a history of trauma, that is associated with chronic disease later in your life, including cancer. And so we bring that to people's attention. If there's things that are currently causing you significant stress in your life or things in the past that are still a significant source of stress, we try to work towards bringing those events and those stressors to a more acceptable place. We usually can't remove a stressor, but we can control the way that we respond to it in a better way so that we can be present with it, but not have it affect our emotions and our feelings in our body. We also talk about our sleep. One poor night of sleep, when you get, let's say, 4 hours, decreases your natural killer cells the next day significantly. And your natural killer cells are the ones that are the little guards against cancer. And so we really want to get people back to a place of good quality sleep. And that can be very complex. Light is incredibly important. We don't want to have screens or bright lights in our eyes about an hour before we want to go to bed. When we wake up, we want bright light on. If you do that for about 3 weeks, watch your light exposure around your bedtime. It's probably going to change your life. But beyond that, we also have to make sure that if we're going to bed and then our mind is racing and causing us to not be able to sleep, that's a completely separate issue that we have to address. And so that gets more to the emotional aspect and the grief aspect that we talk about in the program. And then lastly, your relationships. And so I encourage people to really be open in the way that they're communicating with people around them. It can be frustrating because you're dealing with breast cancer and you may have people in your orbit that don't know what to say to you. Now that you have cancer, they just keep saying, it's going to be okay. You're going to be fine. We're going to get through this. And that can be seen as not helpful and just a kind of a pity reaction. And so how do we get to a point where the patient is able to have good quality, intimate relationships with their friends, full of beautiful communication, where they're very clear about their needs in this current, dealing with this current cancer, so that those relationships aren't suffering, causing further loneliness and isolation for the patient. And so sometimes that means letting some relationships go. If it's a person that just doesn't really, you don't feel very good around them. But other times it's upping the level of communication and having some difficult conversations so that that friend or partner or family member understands what you're really feeling and they can approach it with a different type of compassion and have more awareness of what could be helpful to you in this completely new experience that is cancer. And so that's the six pillars. That's what I'd say.
Amazing. So it really does put individuals in the driver's seat, both in taking an active role in preventing recurrence, as well as preventing cancer in the first place.
And I would also say, I always tell my patients, never take this information as a, oh my gosh, I caused my cancer. I wasn't living like this before and I've caused my cancer. And now I have to change all of this or else. We know that cancer is very multifactorial. I mean, it is everything. It's the way you've lived, the things you've been exposed to, the traumas, the toxins, genes. Actually, there's only maybe 5-10% of breast cancers that are genetically driven. The rest is just 6 million things that have happened to you since you were born. And so we will never know or be able to pinpoint what was the thing. But what we do know is that there's great opportunity here. And in a time when you're diagnosed with a cancer, that is an out of control moment. That is, oh my gosh, what's happening? I have no control over this. This program, this knowledge gives you control back, because you can reduce your risk of recurrence when we're talking about breast cancer between 30 to 50%. With these things. And that is a huge number. And so it's meant to be empowering and to give you some sense of control in this completely chaotic, out of control, mind-blowing experience that is rocking you to your core. This is a way to start rebuilding and moving forward with this experience in your life, but in a way that you've harnessed the power of this and put all that energy towards improving your future health.
Oh, this is all just so incredible. I just want to thank you so much for all of the work that you've done and having the insight way back when you tried that meat. And look how far you've come, and look how many people you're helping in such impactful ways. So I just want to thank you for creating the program that you're doing, and for all of the people out there that are listening, and all the people out there in the future that you will continue to help. There are probably going to be questions like, where do I find her? How can I learn more about Dr. Orman? So where would you like people to find more information about you and your programming?
So you can visit the Advent Health Cancer Institute webpage, and you'll find HEAL information there. And that's where you can register for the program. Currently, it's for people in Florida. That's going to be changing at some point when we expand a little bit. So stay tuned. And then if you want to just kind of follow me personally, I am somewhat moderately active on social media. Plant-based radonk doc on Instagram. Sometimes I'll post my food or something about a trail run or exciting news about things like the 100-mile run I'm about to do in April. Things like that go up on my social media. So it's a moderately interesting place to learn more about me.
It's more than moderately interesting, and that's incredible. And I can't wait to continue to follow you on this new path with this new unbelievable event that you're participating in. Well, so I will put all of the links to connect with Dr. Orman, to follow her on social media, in the show notes. And your CME link for this session will also be in the show notes. I want to thank you, Amber, from the bottom of my heart for being here, for sharing all of your incredible knowledge and expertise. I'd like to thank all of our listeners for taking time to care for amazing you. Remember to be kind to one another and to be kind to yourself. And I look forward to connecting with you on the next episode of the Stress-Free MD podcast.
Hi, I'm so happy that you're here listening to the Stress-Free MD podcast, learning short, actionable tools to relieve the stress in your life. And I've got some amazing news for you. I've created some short videos for you where you can learn stress-relieving tools by video format as well. Me teaching you on videos. They're totally free. They're very short. They're about 5 minutes in length each, because I know how busy you are. And all you have to do is go to my website, www.stressfreemd.net. And on the homepage, it says Feel Calm Now. And then you can click the link to get your free videos, and I'll send them directly to your inbox in your email. And you can share this website with your friends, your family, your colleagues, so they can feel calm too. So go get your videos. What are you waiting for?